what would give a local church the best chance to do what it should do in reference to being in Christ? Good question, huh?
Good teaching, good eldership.
Good teaching, good eldership, devotion, faith building. All those things can contribute to a local church being what it should be in Christ. And we're in a particular section. We're going to hopefully finish that tonight. May not, but it's an oversight. Oversight. So you can have a congregation, local church, okay? And there were some that didn't have oversight. But in Acts 14, the apostles came back through and provided that oversight through their instruction and their teaching. Now, church needs to be all it can be in Christ. And we looked at 1 Timothy 3:15. This church, these people, these Christians, okay, gathered together to work and worship together, they need to work to what goal? 1 Timothy 3:15. A pillar, ground of the truth. All right? And what truth is that? The truth being revealed to us. Not truth we voted on. Not truth we got out of some other book that wasn't the Bible. But to be that pillar and ground, okay, which supports everything that Christ, it honors Christ. Now, let's look at Titus 1:5. The apostle's doctrine, teaching, instructing Titus in what he should be teaching the brethren, the Christians. And before he starts off on these qualifications of elders, bishops, pastors, for this reason in verse 5, I have left you in Crete that you might set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I've directed you. Now, what remains? What remains? If you look at different versions, and I did, there's an interesting variance on words, but they're all directed in the same direction. One said remains, which we just read. One says undone. One says wanting. And another said unfinished. So the implication is elders, oversight is a necessary item, something that not to be put off the back burner or not to be put on the stove. But it's something to be brought to that front burner, something to be thought about as we go through life and as you're a member of a local church. Again, we're in an oversight section. What remains? What's unfinished? Okay? If there was other things in our worship that was unfinished, would we try to finish them? Yeah. Okay? Especially when we're looking at eternal life with Christ. So we need to think about that as we're in this group, or you move to another group, or a group starts somewhere, and that sort of thing. Work towards that which is unfinished, that which needs to be wanting, undone. So that's just an interesting point, and a good point in that one word that God has left for us, okay, in the Apostle Paul to Titus. Now, beginning in page 30, number E, why some churches do not have elders. Well, again, the apostles said, let's have those elders. Let's have that local oversight. Let's have those pastors. And number one there, I have what? Not qualified. Well, has God left us the qualifications? Yes, he's left us that, okay? Titus 1 and 1 Timothy 3. He's left us character qualifications and he's left work qualifications. And we went over a lot of those last class. Now, if someone is not qualified not qualified, what should they be working on?
Getting their qualifications.
Yeah. And what in business world, what tells you what you need to do on a job?
Job description.
Okay. And of course you pick things up on a job, but that job description is describes the job and the activities that you're going to be qualified for, things you'll be doing when you first enter that job. Limits and minimums and maximums, that sort of thing. So we've been provided with those qualifications, those instructions, those sort of things that would qualify someone. So when you're into a job in the business world, you want to fulfill those qualifications, don't you? Yes, if that's your job description. And the same basic idea here, that in life, God wants us to be all that we can be. And so we have these qualifications. So men, be thinking about that as you live day by day, whatever age you are. This is God's word, is what he's written down. Not some obscure passage, okay? A lot of words concerning these qualifications, both character and work, and preparing oneself. In the business world, if you just stay what you're doing, you kind of stay there, don't you, in one spot. You don't advance or think to a higher level of what could be done with your job, modify the job, okay? And you hope you can be promoted. I'm not saying here promotion. I'm just saying the idea that in life, we move forward in our ideals in life and things we want to get accomplished. And especially, we're thinking about heaven, aren't we? Because we volunteered for this. Necessary for our eternity. So, not qualified. So, learn the qualifications. Yes, Rocky.
Doug, you mentioned about how if the men were unqualified, that the men should work on being qualified and work on it. I think the wives of those men play just an important role in supporting the men, encourage them, and the lives they live. And so, yeah, it's really two people that really need to be involved to work for those qualifications.
And Rocky's brought up a point about a wife being dignified in the way she carries herself. Is not support at home, isn't that necessary in accomplishing something? It takes time away from the family. It's support, but in the idea of support and the idea of allowing time, there's calls, there's letters, there's things you're involved with, okay? And is not a wife support in that. All right? Good point. Now, if a man, and I was to say to you, in this man's past, he had a chance to stand up for truth. Stand up for truth. Be counted. He gave in to the whims of his friends. He didn't stand for truth. Was that man qualified? Would you support that man? I see some heads going back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to answer the question, but go ahead.
It depends on whether in the past, if he realized that was wrong and he repented, and he now realizes that that's the right thing to do, then he would be qualified.
Can you think of a man in, say, Galatians chapter 2, verse 11? That he had a problem with Gentiles, even though he knew better? Yes. Sure did. That's right. Peter and Barnabas. And who had to correct them openly?
Paul
did, didn't he? Okay. And, okay, he's disqualified forever. Was he?
No.
We know in 1 Peter 5 that he's an elder, don't we? So, anybody else in Scripture? Yes.
I just want to make a comment on that. We know the constant makeup once committed to Christ, the constant makeup of Peter, that was a failing in that moment, but his constant makeup was not failure. And certainly not Barnabas, who used a Bible word for a son of encouragement. So that isn't that typical behavior.
That's exactly right. And if I can say, it's out of character, isn't it? It's something that momentary, out of his core values. We slip, don't we, from time to time. And like Linda said, repentance, verbal in our actions, is what we're going to look for. So here's a man, Peter. Did he have another slip? Did he deny Jesus three times? Boy, that'd be a disqualifier, right? Okay. Anybody in the Old Testament that had
Moses?
Maybe David? Bathsheba? Sure. Okay. So those out-of-character instances, can that paint a man for life? It's difficult. Because sometimes, one error in character, can offset 99 other good points. It's sometimes hard to build that back. But repentance and those sort of things are things to look at in the character of an individual. So character qualifications enter into that. And when you choose, okay, your oversight. Yes, sir.
Also, Barnabas failed in that same situation with Peter when he fell in that same trap too.
Okay, that's right. So, again, depends what the issue was and that sort of thing. And repentance when that occurred. And, sometimes people repent after they've been found out. Well, is that repentance? Okay. Yes and no. It just depends. All right. But the point is, just because someone is not perfect, well, are you perfect? Am I perfect? Have I always done everything exactly right? Has my temper blown up from time to time? Said things you shouldn't say. Okay. But again, you look to the core values of an individual, and you can have these lapse of character and out of character instance. So consider that, okay, wherever you're at. And forgiveness is good, repentance is even better. All right? So just things, I'm not saying forgive everything, but look at the individual for that, because no one's perfect except Christ. Okay. So a thing to look at on qualifications. Number two, the young church and the older disqualified. Well, if you've had the opportunity to be in a congregation, I don't remember as well on this congregation when it got big enough and people in New Caney started that congregation from this one. But there was individuals there, maybe a lot of younger people, and qualifications may not be there. Okay. Again, it's up to the congregation to decide that as they know the qualifications. So sometimes youth can do that. Now, and older individuals, I'm going to use age as a factor, okay? What should that individual be doing throughout their life if they're aware of the qualifications, if they're thinking about the qualifications? Working on it, right? Okay? And can I read these and understand these qualifications? Okay, I'm qualified. Does that do it? Can I take can I read about, I'm 14 years old, 15, 16, and I read about how to operate a vehicle. I take that owner's manual out, how thick it is, and I read that owner's manual. And I look at YouTube. Okay, let me have that new car, Dad. I'm going to take it on the road. I'm ready. I'm qualified. Is that how it works? Luckily, the state of Texas gets you to drive the vehicle with someone else in there first, okay? Someone who'd be experienced, say. But you do those sort of things with action, don't you? You put these qualifications in action in your life, and you're building on it. You're gaining experience. You're gaining exposure. See? So those are things to think about either here or anywhere else. Yes, ma'am.
I have a question about, I understand the character qualities, but I was curious about when it talks about the faithful children, someone obviously, even if they qualify for everything else, but if a married couple have never been able to have children, that would just disqualify them, correct?
Having children is an indicator of what, according to Scripture?
Just having children?
Yeah, just having in your household. It's an indicator of what? Of the faithfulness of those children?
Well,
the dedication of that's right. That's right. So, I would tend to think myself, okay, that I haven't seen that in his life because they don't have children. But if you're doing that, then say this couple right here, all right? They find out they can't have children. And he's thinking about leadership later on of a local congregation. What's he going to do? That's the way it is.
Maybe look into adoption.
Yeah, adoption, sure. Okay? And how that child is raised, okay, is an indicator of how you would deal with a lot of people, okay, in relationships. Okay? So that's my view on it. Wally, you got a thought on that or anything?
The whole idea is to show forth that you have the ability to manage a household. In your character to do that, you said. And one might argue the word household doesn't necessarily mean children. We're taking down the path here.
Yeah, that's right.
Ahead of time. So one might argue, oh, well, you don't have to have children to show forth that management. There are people that actually believe that, so I don't think I'm speaking things that aren't said. But I wouldn't go out on that thin ice.
Yes.
And I think your point, that if that's what a man is, his desires in doing, and he should be, if he's got other capabilities, he should be striving to do that, to grow that way. Whether he ever fills the role or not, that would be something that he might consider, very well consider, in terms of his household, adopting children. I would never go out on the ice of saying, well, if I don't have children, I still ought to be an elder. Wouldn't work.
That's right. Okay. So y'all heard that? Thin ice. Thin ice. All right? And it's a good question. Good question. And there's a solution for that.
First Timothy 3 says, keeping his child under control with all dignity. So it seems to me that it points to a man who has family.
And since we're talking then, let me just read while I'm in Titus. Namely, if any man be above reproach, the husband of one wife, having children who believe, not defining the believe, not accused of dissipation or rebellion. Just dissipation, just getting into all kinds of things, just uncontrollable. All right? And rebellion. That's a reflection of the character of the children, isn't it? And what also is that reflection of? How they respect their parents, isn't it? Okay? How to respect that man, how he raised them. So that's that. Now, let me say one more thing. If his children, he's raised his children, they've gone, and they died, can he still be? Can we still look at his character and the way his children respected him? The way they weren't wild, that they respected those things that need respecting, all right? Yeah. Even though they're dead, yeah, sure can. Sure can, because that's a reflection of his character. Reflection of his character, all right?
The same as if his wife had died.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And again, all this, that's why you have local congregations who have their local oversight. Because guess who chooses local oversight? The congregation. Okay? I don't have some board for approval. Okay? I don't have some decree from a convention. I do. You do. We choose who our oversight is. And you examine those qualifications. Time of testing. You talk about it. Okay? And you work on it. Yes, sir. And Mark is exactly right there. Did you hear him? That while they're under this man's control, oversight in his house, they're respectful. They're obedient. They're courteous. And somehow something happens later on when they move out of the father's direct influence. And some things happen. It just, the surroundings, whatever it is, things happen sometimes. And they may have been a believer one time, they fall away, or not a believer, whatever it is, okay? Yes, sir?
I just say it's not a perfect parallel, but it's close.
Yeah.
Samuel was the last of the judges. A man who was God and excellent, yet his sons were not good men. Apparently, and I guess after they were adults, and were not worthy to take his family, per se, yet he was approved of God. Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Number three, no preparation experience. And we talked about that. You need to prepare for this, and wives are an important part of that, because encouraging, dignified wife can go a long way for that. Number four, unreasonable expectations. Well, why would that stop someone from wanting to aspire to this office? Or make them inspire for the office. What's an unreasonable expectation? We all love each other. Everything's going to be smooth. You know, man, not going to be any problems. That, you know, little things, we can fix those. Okay? Because after all, you're a Christian and I'm a Christian. And I can say, you know, this is a little problem. Yeah, you know, I had a problem. I will correct it right now. Is that the way it works? Well, that's, it may or may not. It depends, all right? Some will, some won't. But this point, so you can have expectations that could be, I'm going to say, too high. Okay?
And it's not a sin not to want to be an elder. I mean, it's something you have to want.
Yeah,
if you don't want to be, then...
That's right. If you don't want to be, it's up to you. But there are reasons why. And let me say this right now. If you look at these qualifications in Timothy and Titus, is generally those good qualifications for anybody? They really are, aren't they? Okay. Above reproach is something to think about. Yes, sir.
Just going to make the observation, a lot of times you'll find congregations have expectations that it's not the man himself. Congregation has an expectation that is not reasonable. And therefore, churches, you know, they basically are like deer headlights. They don't do anything because they have this unreasonable expectation. It works on both sides.
Yeah, and you heard that? Congregation have unreasonable expectation. All of a sudden, someone's in the office. Whoa. They want you to, you know, be out every night. If that's necessary, fine. But all of a sudden, we're not going to do our job. We got you now. Guess what? They do that to preachers too, don't they? Say, you're going to run everything. So it's a way to not delegate, okay? A way to slough off our responsibilities on someone else. Okay, and there's some unreasonable expectations also there involved. Good point. Now, teaching and doctrinal, okay, is there going to be a challenge in congregations from time to time? Sure there will be, okay? And that should be part of the expectation. And also, if you're moving towards that in your life, you'll encounter that, okay? Whether you're sitting down with Jehovah's Witness in someone else's house, they ask you to come over, and you're going to do battle, but you should. They're good people, okay? They're good to deal with because you learn a lot. But those sort of things need to be thought about as we move through life and do that. Now, number five, no one cares, satisfy the present arrangement, fail to realize the need of seriousness of such need. Complacency, this is the way we've done it for years. We've operated. We got things done. Yeah, we have our services Sunday morning, and you know, some people move away every now and then, but you know, that's just the way they are. All right. So what happens when everybody has a responsibility? Does the work get done? Do you need leadership sometimes to direct people, to help people, to oversight? So sometimes you don't realize a need, and that's a need of teaching, a need of spiritual encouragement, not just handling the money, painting the walls, landscape, times of services, teaching materials, not at all, but those sort of things for tending the sheep. After all, a flock of sheep, you leave them alone for a while, they get scattered, don't they? All right? Now, number six, some do not have the time. Why would someone not have the time to be an elder, pastor? Yes, sir.
One consideration might be a person that's that has, they are a primary care person.
A household illness? I was thinking elder care, but you're exactly right. Okay. Arthur's family had taken care of Arthur's brother for 10 years straight. Well, he's in a wheelchair. All those exposed things to take care of that you do, because he couldn't do it. So that's care, but it's also time. It may be time, but you may have come services and time here, but you're always thinking. You're always thinking, how are they doing? I need to get this. What about the doctors? What about next week? You're always thinking that. So it's a hard thing. You can, and that's a valid point. A valid point. If you don't have the time, okay, then it's maybe one shouldn't be involved. But guess what? Those points may pass in time. May pass in time, so still do what you can along the way in your preparation. Let's see. Some people can travel extensively. I mean, the man we bought our house from, he was gone 6 months of the year. And he told me, well, when he gets back to the local church here, then he's on the committees and all that sort of thing, but he's gone. So it's hard to know about the flock if you're gone 6 months of the year, isn't it? Okay? And so contact is necessary for that. So there's a lot of reasons, and good, valid reasons, some of us don't have the time. Work does that sometimes. You have shifts and you move around. It's a difficult thing. But it's things to think about. But again, you're still in your time that you do have. Prepare yourself, because you don't know when things will open up. Okay? All of a sudden, you're not in shift work anymore. You're on a straight job. Who knows what it is? Okay? Now, that's just a thought. And number seven, and you've been under bad elders before, bad leadership. Now, in business, I've been under bad leaders. But look out for themselves, okay? I mentioned to you before, my thoughts were always to train people under me to take my job. Makes things so much better. But some people don't work that way. And so that's that part. Now, what's a bad elder? What did a bad elder do? I mentioned last time in last class that an individual was telling me that elders could have dealt with the situation. But they decided to stand back and not do anything. Guess what? A congregation split on that issue. Minor issue, really. So those sort of things need to be done. And so don't be afraid that things have not turned out well in the past. It's a thing to consider in the future, but it's still something to think about. Okay? Now, you still have a good outcome, can't you? Yes. All right. Do you have any other items? I had a couple more myself. Yes, sir.
I think sometimes a possible misunderstanding of the work or a misunderstanding of the characteristics. So it's kind of like a divide of everyone of what the work is or what the characteristic truly means. And so because it's kind of a divide, no one ever really moves forward with it.
Yeah, the qualification, the division on that point. Yeah. Is what you're saying. Yeah, that's right. But it needs to be worked on, and that's a point of the individuals in that congregation and a point of the preacher, okay, to clarify those points and not to give in to the popular, whatever it is. You just say what you believe. Now, some people don't want headaches. It's just a headache. You know, at night you go out, okay, and times that you may be doing something with the family or the grandkids or kids or whatever it is, you need to go out. And those are things to think about. And it's a headache. But you have to study all the time. Yep, that's right. You have to do that. Okay? You do things that you may not be comfortable with, but you know you've obligated yourself to that duty. And you're serving the congregation, serving God. All right. And a soul. One other, but I've already went over it. You just don't understand the qualification, which is what Matt was saying. All right? And there's some unity on that needs to be evolved, too, in a congregation. Yes, sir?
Just one time, something you said to attend to what something Roger did. Roger mentioned about how wives supported the man. You mentioned about how the qualifications for each other, everyone should be striving to look to that. To that, be they male or female. If the woman is striving to look to that, then she'll find it probably a lot easier to support him than what he's doing.
Yes. Yes, that's right. Exactly right. And if the wife knows that you've been striving for that over years of time, you've already been out some nights. You've already been involved in people's lives. So it shouldn't be a big surprise, okay? As a matter of fact, sometimes I think the women, they're lifeboats, the saviors, okay, on this sort of thing. So it's good to have that. Now, in marriage too. All right. Our next point is substitutions. So we've got oversight of local churches. What kind of substitutions have people devised in their own ways? Well, my first one there is preacher rule or pastor system, that sort of thing. Matt, what's a preacher's duty? What's his job? Where is it defined? 1 Timothy? 2 Timothy? Titus? Where does it say there that you be there? Huh? But sometimes local groups need some help, don't they? And they need some direction. So let that be a temporary thing, and also being preached about all the time. But this is not the way it should be. In a marriage where the authority rests with the husband, do some husbands just not take the lead? But the bottom line is things got to be done, don't they? So decisions have to be made. And those are things that I'm glad God is judging it. Okay, and I can see it. I can see the problem there that erupts. All right, so just a thing to deal with. All right, so you get a preacher rule and that sort of thing. Sometimes a dominant, influential individual is men or women. How can a person dominate in a congregation without leadership, without oversight? How can they dominate? What would be a characteristic? What qualities do they have? Are they quiet?
Inserting themselves into people's lives and making sure they know everything that's going on. And
yeah. Yeah.
No, they like to be the boss. Demetrius was that. And even when the ministers were coming in to preach the gospel, he was putting them out of the church. And so he was ruling the roost.
Yeah. Some people just naturally like to grab anything. There's a void or seeming void. They want to grab it. Okay, take leadership. Let's see. I've heard about this. Can large families, I mean, you know, I've got three generations in a congregation. That's a lot of power, isn't it? A lot of vocals, a lot of people. All right. Can there be an influence there, an undue influence on the actions of the congregation? Leadership? Sure they can be. Okay, so it's things to think about. I've heard about this also, that, well, I own the title of this building property, and we're going to do what I want to do. Think that happens?
Yeah.
Sure. Sure. Okay. So those are things to watch out for when dealing with substitutions for rule, who gets what authority, that sort of thing. And again, always go back to Scripture and be forewarned about these situations. And if a person is a believer, when they throw out the idea, I own his property, well, let's be reasonable with this first. Are we going to stay in Christ? Yes. We're talking about leadership and decisions and that sort of thing. Do you really think that's a point you should dwell on and use as your point to persuade people? And hopefully, okay? Hopefully they say, you're right. All right? So teach first to see how people's heart is and where they're at.
Isn't the building common anyway?
Yes, but some... Well, it is, but it's not your name right now. All right? We don't... It's legal things. All right? let's see. Voting. In part C, can that be a substitution? We're going to vote. Well, I can. Is your opinion valued? Yes. But 51% doesn't make a decision. Okay? So we reason together. Reason together. We're not a democracy. All right. Objector rule. What's that? You've seen it. I've seen it in business. Okay? We see it in different congregations. You see it. If one person objects, that's not unity. Let's not do it. That's not right either. Because some people just object all the time. And I wonder why they'd object. A lot of reasons. But sometimes you know a people in their lives and you visited them and you've been trying to correct their lives, so they're going to be maybe object to the situation, aren't they? All right? And object to anything that's different from what they want. That's a way to express themselves. So just think about that also, object to rule. Now, E is sponsoring elders. Elders function as overseers over something other than the congregation to which they are related as bishops. If a congregation doesn't have leadership, let's see. New Caney is going to take over the leadership here and deal with our funds, those things common to us. They're going to choose a preacher. Is that a substitution? Yes, it is, isn't it? Okay. Sometimes called a sponsoring church. Okay. But as good of a congregation as may have excess books, New Caney, we need some more song books here. They give them to us, that's fine. But to come in and oversee things of our worship and our work together, it should be a local church. Those are things you need to be aware of, okay? And sometimes you'll see it's an assumed responsibility or duty versus an assigned by Scripture responsibility or duty. And we'll begin next time on board of directors, missionary societies, think about that. Alexander finally gave into that missionary society, where a church gave over that responsibility of evangelism to a group of preachers. Orphan homes under boards. And colleges, same idea. Church should give to a college. Individuals can, which we talk about individual responsibilities and congregational responsibilities. So we'll start a rejection of God's appointed apostles and we will do fill in the blanks next time. Thank you.